Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. You know how much I love being part of your day and how excited it makes me when I think that you're allowing me to be part of your day. And even if you're not listening live, because some of you have that, everybody has that option. Many of you are listening on the radio and on the internet live. But you also have the option, you will have the option of going back and hearing this interview and others, everyone that we do at a later time. And so you can do all that at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can find out how we have a little time machine there, folks. It really is a little time machine. You can just go back in time. How about that? How cool is that, huh? Who loves you, right? Jim Ostroff is our good friend and member of our Brain Trust. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's here today to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, Mr. and Ms. America.
wait a minute, Jim. You got to say hello to ships at sea and planet Earth too.
That's Mr. and Ms. America and all ships at sea.
That's right. We got people listening all over the world on the internet.
Right.
And we got some people, you know, out there too, Jim, with the aluminum foil hats. They're listening over subspace frequency too. So they're the ones who are off their meds.
They're actually tuning in. They're still tuning into Walter Winchell.
They're picking us up, and yeah, waiting on the mothership to beam them back.
Right.
Jim, your lead story this week is about the stock market. I'm glad you're here, Jim, because you're somewhat of an expert on these things. I, on the other hand, am only a stock market antagonist. I'm not much of a stock market expert. I'm a Wall Street antagonist these days, especially. But still, I want to talk about this because this is important. It's interesting, Jim, that with all the bad news that seems to be happening, stock market, I mean, it's not doing great, but it really hasn't tanked, has it?
No, it hasn't, and
even with new bad news coming from time to time, it seems to handle it pretty well, doesn't it?
It does, and because there, after all is said and done, there really is some good intrinsic value, and you know the stock prices have stopped sliding and even plummeting, and that's because people do look ahead and they see glimmers of a stronger economy later this year and in next year. Mm-hmm. The bottom hasn't fallen out, not on the economy. You know, there'll be a slow recovery, but it will be there.
Do you also think that one of the reasons why the U.S. markets haven't really taken a bad hit is because more and more companies are diversified across the globe, and you know, globally, there's still a fair amount of activity going on out there. I mean, the Earth is not really on an economic tear right now, but there's, you know, Europe's doing okay, Asia's doing okay, and I wonder about that. What do you think, Jim?
Well, there is something to that. That, you know, the fact is that we are in more of a global economy, and there is no disconnect. What happens in America affects others, but still there is somewhat of an offset with economic activity elsewhere, but not guaranteed. I mean, you have General Electric, well diversified, and said we're overseas and this and that, and they took us tumble. But generally, it does help. It does help even out the bumps.
Right. Well, let's talk about some of the you guys call them sweet spots. Let's talk about some of the areas that people might want to consider. And we were just talking about the multinationals.
Right, the multinationals.
You know, Jim, Sir John Templeton made his fortune basically from the '50s on, looking at international stocks.
Oh, absolutely. And the secret is no secret, but one that people forget, and that is, you know, picking high-quality companies with, you know, what has been steady growth over the years and,
right.
you know, and very good global positions.
You could say the blue chippers.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, you know, for instance, I mean, everything from a Caterpillar, a Hewlett-Packard, mm-hmm. IBM, there are many. You know, Colgate-Palmolive and Cisco and Emerson Electric, and it goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
They are there, you know, they're not dabbling, they have good fundamentals, and they are poised to grow as markets recover, as they will.
Well, and you know, we have to look at this from two different perspectives, Jim. We've got a lot more people out there probably than ever before who are traders. People who want to see what their stock's doing every day. Instead of really, and then we got the other folks who are probably the smarter ones, the ones who, and none of these groups, by the way, are really experts in investing. They just are doing it. Then you got the folks who really are probably the smarter ones who invest, as you're saying, in the high quality stocks. They're investing in those, and they're really not checking their portfolio every day. It's like how much did my house go up today? You know.
Well, that's it exactly.
And so they're saying, okay, if I invest in these solid stocks, you know, I'm going to go back once a year. I'm going to look at them, and I'm planning on this portfolio is going to be, I'm going to be moving some stuff around a little bit, but basically over the next 20 years, you know, I'm going to stick with a basic fundamental philosophy of investing.
Well, that is a good strategy, and it is proven over time to work. Now, I must say, it depends on your time frame, though. You know, if you are set, say, to retire next year or 2 years, or there's some big need and the market tanks, it doesn't. It's of no benefit because you need that money then. But
and
over
that's,
the longer term,
and that was what happened in 2000, wasn't it?
Well, oh yes, absolutely.
If you were counting on your 401k or your investments, you know, and you were going to retire in say 2001,
right?
Well, you got hit pretty hard.
You did, and the thing is, of course, this might say long-term solid investment, good mm-hmm. company, good strategy. And on the downside, people say, yeah, the market can tank, but no one knows when it will tank.
You know what, Jim? One thing you guys don't have on page one that you probably should have on page one is real estate. Can't beat real estate for investment quality. Stand by, 20 after. Right back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the stock market and some economic forecasts. Stay with us.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassie again. Liz Fleetwood Mac bringing us back. Visiting with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. And Jim, one of the things that you guys recommend, and you know, it's one way that Americans can hedge their fuel increases is by investing in the energy companies.
Well, this certainly, that is one way. Certainly.
Probably should have already gotten into that though.
Well, yeah. But it's on, you know, it is likely that demand for energy will remain strong, and you know, it depends how obviously other companies are run, but it's likely that their share prices will remain fairly solid, whether you're looking at Exxon, Mobil, or Chevron, or ConocoPhillips.
Well, and of course, right alongside that is agribusiness, because the commodities are going up, and food prices are going up. And so it seems like these two sectors,
well,
energy
yeah.
and agribusiness are probably doing well right now.
They are. And the thing is, overall, long-term, they should be because demand is there and will be, and overall will be greater than it is today.
Jim, one thing that I don't hear a lot of people talking about, maybe you guys do a lot of this, but I don't know that I know a lot of people who are investing in mutual funds like they used to. Are they? Is it mutual fund investing as much as it used to be?
Well, you know, on the dollar volume, yes, it is. It's very high. It may well right now be at a nominal all-time record. But, yeah, I mean, there are people, look, obviously many other things, exchange-traded funds or futures directly or real estate or just stock. But mutual fund investments, you know, are very high. May right now be at a record. I don't know. But
it's a great way to diversify and to have some kind of a hedge, isn't it? Especially if you get a fund that's investing in all the, maybe all the things that we just talked about.
Well, yeah, and obviously that's a benefit. You diversify, you hedge your risk somewhat. You can choose, you know, type of investments that they will primarily do, say, energy or healthcare or whatever. It goes on and on. You know, obviously you have to look. The performance does vary among them. But, you know, mutual funds are a way, of course, where it just you might just say, in some cases, slow and steady. You do it right, you'll make good money.
Yeah. And of course, now that's one thing that you guys do quite a bit of coverage on your Kiplinger Personal Finance
Magazine, right?
Magazine, don't you?
Personal Finance, of course, does focus extensively on investments for people, and of course, mutual funds are a big part of that universe. So the magazine bores into that in great detail,
right,
and it's
right.
not boring.
Mm-hmm. Right. Another sector you guys point out is might not be bad is maybe some of the healthcare and some of the household staples.
The thing is, again, they're sort of basics, they're fundamentals, there are those things that people use or utilize.
Even
one
in
way
a recession,
another.
People are going to buy shampoo, aren't they?
They're going to buy shampoo
and they're going to drink their soft drinks.
Exactly, they will. And people continue, by and large, to take medication, you know, and see a doctor. Maybe some people cut back, but overall, these are sectors. Where, you know, it is unlikely to see, you know, you might say prices crash because demand is there, it's built in, it's strong. It may ease a bit, but likely, you know, share prices won't go down as much as, say, the broader market, likely. But, of course, I got to say, in every one of these, if you're looking at a particular company or a mutual fund or anything, you got to look at the fundamentals, you got to do your homework and see how that investment has performed.
You know, one thing, Jim, it seems to me people are standing around looking at the indexes that are kind of stagnating right now, and they're saying, okay, you know, is it going to come down more? You know, should I wait to about get in or whatever? And you know, I think what's going to happen is 12 months from now they're going to wish they got in about now, probably.
That could well be.
You know, isn't dollar cost averaging the way to solve that?
Well, you know, it really is for a practical basis.
Explain to the audience what
okay.
that is.
It just basically means that, you know, you decide that for that you're going to do some investments, decide on which investments, that may change a little bit, but then absolutely, you know, invest a given amount every single month into those investments.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be $100,000. You know, it can be even $50, $100 a month, but just continue to have a set amount invested every single month. And in that way, you might say you may not get the highs, but you likely won't see the lows. And overall, is that you should see some good returns. But there's no magic. It's basically the resolve and the execution here to say, mm-hmm. I will invest a certain amount every single month in this and that stock.
Well, and that's you admitting that market timing is a dangerous thing to try to time the market. Nobody can do that. And dollar cost averaging is you're in the market all the time, and you're taking the average of your investments. If you see a stock you like and you buy it, and then it goes down, don't get upset. Buy some more, because you lower your overall cost basis. Hey Jim, stand by. Quick break. Right back. We're going to talk about some economic forecasts for the economy for the rest of the year. Right after these messages, with our good friend Jim Ostroff. Stay with us.
In the sense of government. You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. It's my pleasure to be able to hang out with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter, too, because we've got our good buddy Jim Ostroff with us right now. And we're talking about the economy at this moment. That's what we're about to talk about, Jim. The economic forecast that you guys, the outstanding little handy-dandy box that you guys provide quite often in the Kiplinger letter every week. The arrows are going the wrong way. And I'm not going to say they're all going down because some of them are going up.
Going up, but it's the wrong way.
But that's
way.
The crude oil arrow, which I don't,
right.
Which I don't like.
That's crude.
So I noticed that you've adjusted your average price up from last time.
On oil?
Yeah.
Well,
from 87 to 92. You know, I may be the only person in the world who tracks Kiplinger's forecast.
Yes, you do.
I don't have a life, Jim, so I keep up with these things.
Well, that's good. No, and in fact, actually, you know, put it this way, through last week, crude oil averaged $98 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
We are sticking to 92 for now, but if it does not break in another 2 weeks, put it this way, it's going to be... It could be at 96. It could be $100 a barrel average this year.
Yeah.
It could be.
That's the real scary part about the future of the economy. That's the one thing, Jim,
right,
that could get out of hand. And it really upsets me, Jim, when I think about all the oil that we have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody. I read something the other day. That said, if we would go after the oil that we know about right now in our country, and this should be recovering oil, it wouldn't hurt anything. Yes, we'd need ANWR, which is the Alaska National Wildlife Reserve. Yeah. Which is 2,000 square miles out of 350,000 square miles. That's up there for the caribou to roam around in. Anyway, if we did all that, we could literally replace the oil we get from the Middle East for 20 years.
Well, it's Alaska, but it's also
Montana, Wyoming.
Exactly.
There are new fields up there. We could get natural gas offshore. We
right.
have the ability to be more self-contained, more self-serving with regard to petroleum than for 20 years, Jim. We could replace the oil we used from the Middle East. And what would look what that would do to the OPEC prices?
They'd have to come down. You would not need the thing is
and
the point here is you would not need to replace all of that oil for 20 years.
Just
getting a lot of that into production, of course, would offset prices.
Jim, we wouldn't be shipping it halfway around the world.
Well, exactly. But the bottom line here is that our elected leaders have said it's off limits. You can't go
well, there. A majority of them have. Not all of them have.
And no,
folks,
not at all.
We've got to quit not using the resources we have and then blaming the oil companies when they charge us for oil.
And in this case, of course, you know that gasoline costs are determined to a great extent by the cost of crude oil. And since the U.S. imports over 65% of its oil to meet its needs.
Mm-hmm.
The point here is, what I'm saying, is that there are much higher input costs. You have no control over that because you have to. Most of it is imported and it's not from yourself. So
mm-hmm.
your costs are higher. You pass that on. It's always very easy to finger, you know, big oil or big gas or something,
mm-hmm.
and not saying that. You know, these are charitable organizations, nor should they be, but many times, you know, the fault lies not in our stars or oil wells,
right.
but in ourselves.
Well,
and
that's
we
right.
Don't let it go.
Well, see,
we
and see, Jim, now the ANWR is, I guess, is government controlled, but
right.
these new fines that I reported on 6 months ago on this show are on much of it is on private land. Yeah, and the Montana, Wyoming oil is in private land.
The Bakken play is
on private land.
And
so, and of course, now, you know, we can't expect those people to give their oil away, but still, you can introduce that new supply. That'll affect the price of oil.
It does. When there's new supply, it has sort of an outsized effect.
We're not, you know, if politicians want to do something, you know, about oil, instead of hauling the CEOs of oil companies to in front of them and beating them over the head with a rubber hose, they should you know, quit being so disingenuous and become part of the solution, not part of the problem. 20 till the hour. Right back. I'm going to be off my soapbox when we come back, folks. I promise. I'm Jim Blasingame. We got a lot more to come. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, little Chicago, bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. Wear them out, please. Use us, abuse us. We like it when you use our websites. Lots of good stuff there, and it's all for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Two different sites. And Jim Ostroff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and they've got an outstanding website too. It's kiplinger.com, which I like telling people about. It's an important one. And then from there you can find their publications, which they actually distribute to you by print or by electronically or both, which is the way I get mine. I can't get enough. And that's the original Kiplinger letter, which we work off of every week. Founded in 23, is once a week, and then you got three biweekly letters: the tax letter, the California letter, and the agriculture letter. Did I say all of them, Jim?
California,
and agriculture. And then we got the magazine we mentioned earlier, Jim.
Right, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and we even have a biofuels report now.
Is that right?
Oh yes, yeah, biofuels report.
Hey, that's right. I saw that the other day. That's great.
Yeah. And just this, all these things, we just take a.
Kiplinger has been on the forefront of projecting and reporting on biofuels. You guys have been doing this for a long time. Alternative fuels. It's a really Kiplinger. Turn to Kiplinger, folks. Really to encounter them, to keep up with what's going on. And you can find that all at their website. And there's a toll-free number. In addition to subscribing at the website, folks, you can also use this toll-free number. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, yeah, it's 800-544-0155.
So check that out, folks. 30-day free trial they'll give you. Jim, let's move over and talk about business costs. The truckers are having a problem because fuel prices are going through the roof, as are the airlines, Jim. And they've got their surcharges that they can add on. But I was hearing one freight CEO saying that their prices have gone up higher than their ability to recover from surcharges.
Well, yeah, and you know, the problem they face, of course, the basic problem. Well, the input costs are going so high so fast, but also there is slowing demand because of the economy,
right.
And there just is less business. And you know, we're looking here and saying that we're likely going to see a shakeout in the trucking business that may approach what for them was the industry, the Great Depression of 2000-2001, when about 5% of capacity just vanished.
So folks, be prepared, and also, folks, this is another thing. If you have a small business and your business is heavy on delivery, you know, you need to include in your contracts some kind of a fuel surcharge that and people are used to paying that. They're used to understanding that. So you might want to, you know, otherwise you could get hit. I mean, it could literally put you out of business. So don't be naive about having that kind of an element in your contract.
That's right. Absolutely.
And of course, the package delivery services, those guys are scrambling for business. I'm sure their sales are probably off a little bit too, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just about flat nationally this year, and it's not going to improve much after a number of years, something like, say, a 5%, even 10% increase. So no surprise, they are competing very heavily.
Right.
And in short, you know, if you do a contract and are willing and want to negotiate, they will drop the various, in many cases, the various charges. It could be for home delivery or for fuel surcharge.
Good time to negotiate, maybe, for these things.
It is.
Jim, let's move down and talk about taxes. This is so funny. We're still trying to reform the estate tax. You know, Jim, I reported this a week ago. I think it was last Friday was the anniversary, the 109th anniversary of the end of the Spanish-American War.
And?
Which is when the estate tax was designed to help pay for that war. That war's over 109 years ago. We won the war, and yet we still have that tax, Jim.
Well, you know, taxes, unlike people, are nearly eternal.
Yeah.
And, you know, generation upon generation. And absolutely, it's true, and we can go back. The last year, early this last decade, the 80s, people always talking about, we got to do something, we got to pare it back or eliminate it, and there's talk and changes around the edges, and then we come back and say, we got to do something about it.
But nobody ever does anything about it.
Rarely, because...
Except a few years ago, somebody did, and they indexed it down, they indexed the exclusion up to the point where, what is it, in 2010, it goes away?
It's supposed to, and
it goes away in 2010, I think, and then 2011, it comes back as if nothing had ever happened.
That's correct. And
unless something happens, and what's this reform about?
well, it's you know, put it this way. I mean, talking about you know, it would tax heirs only, you know, on amounts which are over, in this case, $1.9 million,
and per share.
That is, let's see, is a lifetime total, but that would be.
This is so irritating to me, Jim.
Well, yeah.
Why don't they just eliminate it? You know, just do the right thing and eliminate it.
No, and it's with qualifications, you know, and what I'm saying, it depends on your income tax rate and surcharges.
Yeah. This is so baloney.
No, it's just play.
I'm sorry. Play. It's just, folks, Jim. I'm so disgusted with Congress and our government with this estate tax. If you earn money and you pay taxes on it and you build wealth, you shouldn't pay taxes on it when you die. 10-10. I get mad about this. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Pennyman, otherwise known as Little Richard. He's still rocking after all these years. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate, and we're I'm feeling a little better now, folks. I've had a little time to kind of get off my estate tax rant that I was on a minute ago. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Jim, let's move over and talk about what's going on in Washington with regard to cutting pork. A lot more and more people are, presidential candidate Senator McCain is really a pork fighter.
In fact.
I saw where his earmarks. In any things that he's proposed this year, current Congress, his earmarks were zero.
Right now,
it's good that they're fighting pork. It's good that they're working on eliminating the earmarks. But Jim, that part of the budget is a tiny part of the overall commitments of the United States, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the thing is, the so-called entitlements, things that are basically spending for. It could be Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and you know, many other automatic benefits come right away, 30% of the U.S. federal budget, and that's over $800 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, health care is growing very quickly. And the thing is, you might say, well, yes, this is for health care, this is for Social Security, this is for us, the people, yes, but it is growing so quickly and is so large that it just affects everything we do, and right now there's no control over it. Very soon, health care, if it continues as it is in a few decades, health care will take the same percentage of our economy as the federal budget does mm-hmm. right now, which is into the trillions.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, politicians need to go and try to make some hard choices over here.
What we've got to do is we've got to fix what's going on in the marketplace. So
right.
on many levels, because we've got to not only figure out a way to fund what we've committed to in the future, but we've got to figure out a way for the government to be less responsible for those things in the future by getting people more self-insured. It's such a big job. It's such a big project. It's going to take leadership that we just don't have.
Well,
and that's the reason why. And I hate to be, I'm not a negative person. I'm always looking for the bright side of things, but I don't feel that way about our government. I don't see the leadership. I don't know where the leadership's going to come from, because the parties are so much invested in who's going to win, their side winning, and burning the bridges if they don't win, that we can't accomplish anything. And nobody can. There is no real. In my opinion, there's very little honest debate going on in Washington D.C. these days.
Not very much. Not very
so. How are we going to solve these budget problems, Jim? How are we going to solve these big issues that we have if we can't get to that point?
Thing is, put it this way: can't keep kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, that's right.
On any of these very large and substantial problems, we talk about over here the budget deficits, these entitlements, or energy, or other things. And you know, if you have a situation where lawmakers say, "Well, just kick it down the road, make a little change here and there, give people assurance, and gosh, hope we win the next election,"
mm-hmm.
nothing changes, nothing, and it only gets worse.
And this is something that I'd like to encourage people to pay attention to the rest of the year as we continue to move into the election season as we get closer to November, and as we are evaluating our presidential candidates, as we are evaluating our members of Congress and senators and representatives, people who are running for state houses and local and offices, you know, folks. We need to focus more on who can be the best leader, who will be a leader, who will be really somebody who's more patriotic. And when I say patriotic, I mean caring about the country, not so much about the party. We need to find those kinds of folks, Jim.
Yeah.
At all levels, and they're hard to find.
They are hard to find. Harder to find nowadays because of the tremendous toll that public life takes.
Yep. Yep.
But we got to find them.
Yep. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, Kiplinger with the Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And next time I talk to you, I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.